broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for November the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2017. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we can't stand revolution. We want restoration, a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Welcome to the broadcast. We normally have a recap of yesterday's show. We're going to skip that in light of our guests today. We'll get to that later in the broadcast. Eric Parker, our guest, a well-known patriot, well-known because of the Ammon Bundy and crew trials, in my opinion, well-known for the framing that took place by government to Eric Parker. They played games and manipulated the truth of the matter. The fact is he went to defend innocent Americans who had government guns pointed at them. That's the reality of the case in my situation or my understanding. But nevertheless, the government manipulates the outcome to the nth degree, and there we are. The bottom line, though, is thank heavens he's out of jail. That's a blessing and a half. But it's still not over yet. Eric Parker, welcome to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, give us a quick update on your case then from your understanding, your perspective, will you?
Well, sure. It was, there's a lot there. So at this point, I was getting ready to go back to the third trial.
So in my opinion, the double jeopardy idea violated really a triple case here. And the other trials of basically, literally, you should be free. It should be over on the first one. But now they started to try to move forward on the third one, right?
Yeah. After the second trial, we were acquitted of most of the charges, and it was hung 11-1 to acquit on the remaining two for Scott Drexler and I. And it should have been over. Personally, I think it should have been over after the first one when it was a hung jury on all the charges, you know.
Well, before we even get to that in the first place, it should have been that, you know what, the government should have backed down, went home and said, you know what, we should have shamed them through our congressmen, our senators, through all of our representatives, that government has no business escalating these things to pointing guns at citizens in the first place, and there should have been no trials. But I get your point.
I agree.
but I get your point that, hey, at least one time is one time, but when they start doing the double, triple jeopardy stuff, we've literally violated everything we as Americans hold dear, Eric.
Absolutely. And frankly, I understand. I always figured I was going to have to get in front of, a jury at some point. That picture was scary for a lot of people, and it didn't tell the whole story. And I watched the media misconstrue it for almost two years, and so frankly, I never doubted that at some point I would have to explain myself. We'll say that, and I was fully willing to do that. I don't believe I had done anything at. Well, I won't say anything wrong, but I will definitely say not 11 felonies. I always imagined I would be in front of somewhere explaining myself eventually. But what I found was that our judicial system is rigged, I learned a lot in that 19 months of incarceration. You know, first I thought I had the right to a speedy trial, and that I found that absolutely wasn't true.
Depends on how you define speedy. Speedy is super slow.
Well, factually, it said when I first got in there, I looked at the law and I assumed that I was going to be in front of a jury in 70 days. That's what speedy trial rights say. They ended up deeming the case complex and putting it off for a year, and for numerous excuses of reasons. But I learned that, you know, first there was the speedy right violation, and then as we got into that first trial, I realized that I wasn't going to be able to really get my side of the story out, through, you know, they've been doing this a long time, so they know all the tricks, and they file these motions to stop certain things from coming in. They only allow certain snippets. You know, I had given numerous interviews about what happened that day. I even, on the day I was arrested, gave an interview to the FBI themselves. They said, you know, you have the right to remain silent. Well, you know, I didn't feel like I had to hide anything. I'm more than happy to explain exactly what happened that day. And I did, and I gave about a 2-hour interview. Well,
and you're hoping that transparency would make sense, but in this case, it was manipulated literally against you. I'll say that so you don't have to.
Yeah, you know, absolutely. They ended up playing out of, you know, a 2-hour interview. They played 1 minute and 30 seconds of it, and then when we tried to play the rest, we were told that it was self-serving and irrelevant. So the jury doesn't see the whole picture, and it seems the prosecution does what it can to make sure that the jury doesn't see the whole picture. There was numerous other things like that took place. And luckily, though, the jury seemed to realize that they weren't seeing the whole truth. And what they did see, they didn't appreciate very much. So, you know, we made it through with the hung jury. And then on the second trial, it was even more blatant. And we got even less information out. We didn't even do a closing argument because there was just nothing we could say. And but that ended up backfiring. You know, I believe, as we're told, everything they use for evil, he'll use for good. And I think that a lot of the things they try to do in that courtroom backfire on them, as is government. But the outcome was it all worked out, you know.
The truth was had to some degree because it was in your favor. The problem is they just won't stop and obey the law.
Well, right. Yeah, and like we were saying, after the first trial, you know, it's supposed to be innocent until proven guilty. And if they can't prove you guilty, then it should be an acquittal. But it's not. They can just go ahead and throw the mistrial out there and retry you. It has to be unanimous to acquit, and it has to be unanimous to convict. And it really shouldn't be that way. There's nothing in the Constitution about that. It says unanimous to convict, but they've added the unanimous to acquit, and that's problematic, you know. Not just for me. I see that problem for a lot of Americans who end up in the federal court system, in the court system in general. You know, I hate to be the guy saying, hey, that's not fair, but, you know, it ain't fair.
Well, I'll be the guy to say it's not fair. It's totally 180 degrees opposite what the founding fathers intended, which was, look, this is an open, transparent, speedy trial reality where, you know what, Americans can see the truth and decide if they believe it's the final check and balance in America, if they believe there's guilty or not. And if they're not convinced 100% that someone's guilty, then we err on the side of innocent, because that's the opposite of the king's way, which is, you know what, Eric, you just deserve death because the king says so. We believed in the opposite of that, and the bar was set intentionally very high, sir. Let me take a quick break, Eric. We'll come right back to you, and we'll go to the third effort to try to put you behind bars. What happened? What's going on now? We'll do it in just a second. Stay right there. I'm sorry about this break. We'll do it. Eric Parker with us, ladies and gentlemen. In my opinion, a humble American patriot just wanted to stop the government from pointing guns at innocent citizens. Look what's resulted from all that. Liberty Roundtable live in seconds. Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right? And he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him. And believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is, you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
It's quite fitting that the Bundy trials begin again right when Halloween, the ghoulish nightmare, begins. It's kind of an ironic, I don't even know what to say, but it's just like, are you kidding me? Nevertheless, they're on the third trial. They tried to rope Eric Parker into the third one. They released him to their dismay because they had to. Thank heavens for juries. Although they're still playing games and still trying to rope him into it. He is free. He's with his family where the good Lord intended him to be. And I submit to you that he was a good, honest American just trying to stop government from running amok and escalating out of control and killing more citizens. We've seen too many of that happening with Randy Weaver and Waco. And I mean, I could go on for quite a while, but I'll save you the trouble. Most of our listeners already know. The bottom line, though, is they tried to rope Eric into a third one. Eric, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, so we got done with the second trial, and the judge decided to give us pretrial release. Her words were, it's reasonable to think that the prosecution's case isn't what they think it is. And she gave us pretrial release.
Well, we could have said that on the first and second one, and you could have been home with your family for a year and a half, huh?
Well, yeah, and absolutely. In a perfect world, it would have, they'd let us all, everybody in there out so that they could properly prepare for their trials and take care of their families. But, you know, every one of us was out for 2 years after the ranch, you know, and most of us didn't ever even get a speeding ticket in that time. everybody has jobs and everything else, but you know, they insist that we're all danger to society and flight risk and whatnot. But so they let us out. Scott and I, Steve Stewart and Ricky Loveland were acquitted completely, and they got to go home, and we got out on pretrial release. So as we prepared to go into the third round, the government started asking what would bring us to the table and negotiation table, and they were trying to get us to take deals, and the first deal hinged on Scott and I both taking it. So it was a misdemeanor at first, and when we said we would take them, they pulled them off the table.
In other words, the government lied, baited, and switched. Let's not play any games. I'll say it so you don't have to. They absolutely lied and did a bait and switch right on the spot.
Yeah, once they saw that we were considering, they pulled it off the table. They came back with a felony for me and a misdemeanor for Scott, and they both hinged on each other. If I took the felony, Scott would get the misdemeanor. You know, I've got my opinions on that, too.
And what they're really doing is hoping to manipulate everybody. They're hoping to appeal to you, saying, yeah, I guess I'll take the hit for my buddy Scott and help him. What they're really doing is grasping at straws. What they're really doing is trying to make something stick so they can tell the mainstream press, see, there was more here than the Patriots said there was. But what they're doing is they're manipulating the reality. They're lying. They're trying people three times. They're avoiding speedy trials. They're literally controlling what ends up in court. They're literally lying to the jury by omission at the least. And by commission in many circumstances. And then at the end of the day, what they're trying to do is appeal to guys like you that are good guys, saying, well, if I can help out my friend, maybe I better do something. And they're doing everything they can to save face at this point. They've lost over and over and over from Oregon all the way to Nevada. And now what they're trying to do is they're trying to make something, for heck's sakes, stick. That's just my opinion, but I'm entitled to that opinion. That's the way I see it, Eric.
It's a fair assessment. You know, the so Scott would never want me to take a felony, especially for him. So basically, we were prepared to go back to trial. We went and showed up at the original calendar call, prepared to go back for round three. And they ended up pushing the trial back because of the shooting in Las Vegas.
Which, by the way, has nothing to do with it, just so you know. And even if it did, they ought to switch the venue to somewhere else to get a fair trial. But no, they don't do any of that either. They just delay, and they literally, in my humble opinion, then violate the speedy trial even further. But go ahead, sir.
Right. And so, yeah, especially with the other men still being in there. Then, as we were waiting for that new trial date, they eventually came back with when they realized I wasn't going to take a felony.
Now, let me just add right here, this is where their desperation starts to show, to prove my point.
Yeah, and so they come back with the misdemeanor. I did some praying and thinking. It was a misdemeanor time served, misdemeanor obstruction of a court order. And basically, it's time served, possibly a little bit of probation. I did the statutory limit. We both did, Scott and I, the statutory limit on a misdemeanor is 1 year. We did more than that by about 8 months. So there's really no possibility of jail time. So basically we thought about it, weighed out the possibilities. I was still facing, quite a bit of exposure. The two 924Cs, which are the enhancements, cause the possibility of a 32-year mandatory minimum.
And this is where they're putting that belligerent, psychotic pressure to force you to do something, because they're desperate. They have no other choice but to use that forced government leverage. If they left it in the hands of a trial of jury of peers based on transparency, okay, we get that. They're not doing that in this case. They're using this leverage of the threat of forever in jail. In other words, your whole really adult life, if you will, or you cave. That's the threat they've got over your head, right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was a death sentence from the beginning. So basically, when we looked at it and thought about it and weighed it out, you know, it was we knew what happened in the previous two trials, and we could go back to Vegas for another 4 month trial, or we could take the misdemeanors and go home. I decided to take the misdemeanor and go home.
And the battle, ladies and gentlemen, is do you fight forever because he didn't do what they claim he did, or at some point with that threat over your head, I submit to you that he was literally forced to take this deal unconstitutionally, is what I submit to you, ladies and gentlemen. The government was absolutely desperate to get something to say, yeah, see, there is something here. Otherwise, they get egg on their face and they embolden patriots, et cetera, et cetera. But literally, in my opinion, this is unfair because at some point, you know, you're innocent until proven guilty, and so far they're innocent, but then putting these enhancements just forces them to come to the table. Otherwise, hey, Eric won't be with his wife and children for literally until he's able to get Social Security kind of stuff. I mean, it's crazy. But that's what the government's forced to happen. At this point, then you're waiting for what, the final sentencing now?
Yeah, final sentencing's February 4th. At that time, we're going to argue about how much probation I end up receiving. You know, a little bit of probation. I think anybody who goes to a protest should be willing to consider the possibility of a misdemeanor obstruction charge. You know, that's just kind of the way I looked at it. We'll go in there on February 4th.
But that's in modern America, sir. The founding fathers would be turning in their graves about this, if you ask my humble opinion, sir. This is absolutely psychotic modern-day manipulation of the rule of law.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I would agree with that. You know, it's the First Amendment, and it shouldn't be, but that's the world we live in today.
And I would submit to you that these government bureaucrats that literally pointed guns at innocent, unarmed citizens should be the ones in jail.
Yeah, you know, I still have hope that the truth comes out in this third trial with the Bundys. And,
yeah, but see, it's really their first trial in Nevada, right?
Yeah, it is.
Because they literally played games and held off their trials and let them rot in jail with no due process of law, no literal jury of their peers, no ability to put what they want in front of the judge. They've literally rotted there from one jail to the next, even though they were acquitted before. For literally 18-plus months, they still rot there because Stephen Paddock or whatever went crazy with a gun, which I don't even trust that story either. Eric Parker, we know you got to go to work. We'll chat with Andrea. Thanks so much, sir. Our prayers are with you, my friend.
Thanks for having me.
And we're going to do everything we can to have Roger Stone, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, and hopefully we can get Donald Trump to literally even expunge the record for you guys like they did for Joe Arpaio. Hold on, folks.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com.
participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today. With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Thanks to Eric and Andrea Parker, husband and wife. We have some of the best coverage of the trials taking place in Nevada now. Eric was on the inside. Poor guy was in jail. Then went through the trials. More than one. Unconstitutional as all get out, in my humble opinion. And Andrea, who was able to sit in court and be outside of court and working with the attorneys and working with what's happening on the ground there. Anyway, incredible coverage. We had Ammon Bundy, personal friend, covering things when they were in the Malheur Wildlife Refuge, etc. So we've had some of the best coverage to date that I think is open, honest, and fair about what's really going on here, folks. And that you don't get, really. I don't think there's anybody else that have been that has been giving you a true, honest breakdown, letting those involved speak for themselves. Has anybody done that to the degree we have? Now, Andrea has done an incredible job via YouTube and getting out her own direct message, and good for her, good on it as well. But I'm just saying, how many people in the media are being fair and honest and open and letting them speak for themselves? Andrea, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live. Thank your husband for his time. Our prayers are certainly absolutely with him. Is there anything that I said in the interview that you'd like to correct or anything that you'd like to weigh in on?
Well, I did want to talk about the evidentiary hearing.
Please, sure.
That they're having with Dan Love. Now, in the first two trials, we were not able to even speak Dan Love's name, bring him up, or that he was under investigation.
Okay, now give it 30-second. Give it 30-second, just so people know who Dan Love is and how he fits in and why that's so important. Can you?
Absolutely. Dan Love was the special agent for the BLM in charge of the operation for rounding up the cattle at Bunkerville on April 12, 2014. And so he was the main person in charge. He was also under investigation for actions at the Burning Man, I want to say 2015, for evidence destruction,
right.
Witness tampering, all that kind of stuff.
That's exactly right. Go ahead. I just want to make sure people understand the ties and the connections real quick. Go ahead.
Absolutely. So we were unable to bring him in, and this is against our rights. We should be able to face our accuser. He is the main person who testified in the grand jury indictment. So they were keeping him from the courtroom because of this investigation. Now, ever since the...
Now, when you say because of... Let me stop you. When you say because of, I want to make this clear. They used that as their excuse. Literally, that other investigation has nothing to do with this, but they always have this cloak of immunity when they go, oh, there's an investigation over here. We can't... Whatever. The problem that they have is that they are violating the principle that you have a right to face your accuser. You have a right to see what evidence is against you. You have a right to put that all on the table before the jury. None of that was done for this other excuse. It was nothing but a belligerent, manipulated excuse that you almost wonder if it was manufactured to make sure that happened.
Well, and not only that, but the charges that he was facing in this other indictment, they were investigated, or he was not indicted. It was an investigation. In this other investigation, the charges that he was facing are the same problems that we're having. We believe that...
In other words, they should let both cases open up and pile on is what should happen in that reality check.
Exactly. If he is under investigation for witness tampering and evidence destruction in Burning Man 2015, who's to say he didn't do that in April 2014? And there is actually pictures and evidence of all of this paperwork that was shredded and left in the dumpsters at the Bundy Ranch. Now, this trial, they are actually allowed to say his name, and their Ryan Payne's attorney filed this motion to have an evidentiary hearing about the shredded evidence. There's also radio communications that were unplugged that day, and so all the BLM's radio communications were not being recorded. Now, this is all stuff, mind you, Todd Engel, who was found guilty in the first trial of two charges, he was stripped of his right to represent himself purely for asking if Dan Love was under investigation. So here we have a complete switch. This is going good for the Bundys because they're allowed to not only have this evidentiary hearing, but they're being allowed to go into the Dan Love stuff where we weren't even allowed to say it. And one of the defendants that did say it was stripped of his right to represent himself.
On one hand, that's true. On the other hand, I'm just convinced, though, that they're literally manipulating, though. I don't see why the Bundys don't have a right to a speedy trial, too. I mean, they should be out on their own recognizances at the least as well. So, yes, they've been given some favoritism. It all seems to be like a chess game behind the scenes here to try to get convictions at any cost. Never mind the truth. Never mind transparency. Never mind the rule of law. Never mind a fully informed jury. But let's just somehow barbecue folks and make a prosecution via persecution, if you will. Am I way off on this assessment?
No, absolutely. I think that the only reason they're having this evidentiary hearing is that so many things are happening that they can't keep it all hidden anymore. Now, Dan Love was actually fired from his position. He no longer works with the BLM, and that is why he's being allowed to come in. Now, he could not make it. He claims he has some kind of medical issue like PTSD. He can't drive by the wash. I don't know exactly. But he came in via Skype through Salt Lake. And so they actually had a lawyer drive to Salt Lake, and he was in this room via Skype with one of Ryan Payne's lawyers and two of his own lawyers. He brought two of his own lawyers for this evidentiary hearing. And I would say that during his testimony, he was a hostile witness towards either side. He kept, you know, he was saying things that would flip-flop. He was talking about how the armed protesters were coming to take everything away, and that's why they had to walk away. But he was also saying that people from D.C. were making decisions that he didn't agree with, and that he had a notebook with handwritten notes about decisions that were being made over his head from D.C., decisions that he felt he should have been able to make that were against the plan in the get-go, and that is why the operation didn't go as planned. Now, he was saying that those decisions were in part decisions of not going to the media, not telling people, giving their side of the story to the false accusations that were going out. He kept bringing up snipers as the false accusations. Now, we all know that there were snipers out there, and his idea of the false accusations were the people on the ground reporting. There was even mainstream media reporting the same thing. They were all down there recording. And his issue was that the BLM wasn't talking to the media and trying to set things straight. And he was saying that people from above him were making decisions. He was also saying that Daniel Boden, who was the acting U.S. attorney at the time for the state of Nevada, was included in those that group of people that were making decisions, that he was talking to Daniel Boden before they decided to pull off. So they were thinking prosecution before the BLM even left. They were thinking prosecution, I believe, before the roundup even started. And we know that because of how many FBI were involved. You know, we have FBI, we have Park Service.
And by the way, they're not even letting us find out who those agents are, especially in Oregon. They literally buried that information. The jury needs to know those things because there was agent government provocateurs everywhere, including arming and training people.
Yes, and they were people that were coming and creating this this idea of this violence that was going to happen against the BLM, against the Park Service, days before the protesters were even going down there. The protesters didn't even know they were going down there, and the FBI had come in and scared everyone so much that they enticed this situation to happen. And so I thought that that was very interesting, how Dan Love was coming in, and he wasn't pro the protesting side. He wasn't pro the Bundys. He was very anti-Bundy. But he was also throwing people under the bus, saying, where's my notebook? That went missing. So he's agreeing that things have gone missing. He's not agreeing that he had anything to do with it. So he's saying, okay, there is, he doesn't know if there's destruction of evidence, but he definitely knows he's never seen his notebook again. He doesn't know where it is. And they bring in Toni Skaminski. She was the comms person. She testified in the first trial that Eric was in. She testified that on the night of the 11th, they started shredding things. They call it personal information. So anything that would have personal information on agents, where agents were, on any of the protesters that they were looking, the bolos and people of interest. So she's saying that she prints up this information and then they shred it. They're also claiming that anything they shredded is still backed up on a hard drive and is available to the defendants. Now, after Dan Love was testifying, the defendants actually got another giant chunk of information. And they even brought that up in trial. So you're saying that we have everything that's been given to us, but just at break, we were given a whole nother chunk. So what's going on here?
All right, hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Andrea Parker with us. Quick pause, straight back. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Live, open and honest, fair coverage of what's really going on in Nevada, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to your favorite News the Networks Refuse to Use station.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
Let me give you a quick 30-second reality check on what's going on here, ladies and gentlemen. At least one juror, during a brief session, asked how heavily armed the government BLM officials were. Well, that's a fair question, but that was not allowed to surface during the trial. See, this is what I mean by it was an absolute manipulated, packaged, lack of transparent, in my opinion, promotion of the government's agenda by the judge. All right, this is a high-stakes trial. Cliven Bundy's trial begins. Eric Parker and others were on their third round. In some ways, ladies and gentlemen, the government, alongside the defendants, went on trial in the courtroom. And boy, howdy, do we see how manipulated these government bureaucrats are. Distrust of government at an all-time high, and this just adds incredible fuel to the fire. When it comes to trying the Bundys and their supporters, federal prosecutors now have a terrible, terrible record. They're grasping at straws. They're desperate to do something. In my humble opinion, we need to absolutely impeach this judge. We need to appeal to Donald Trump. We need to literally have the records for Eric Parker and others expunged on this. Donald, we need you to pardon them and make their records clean like you did for good old Joe Arpaio, who deserved it as well. This is absolutely out of control. And we need to do something if we ever want America's rule of law to stand. And if we ever want to restore trust in the proper role of limited government, we must get this done. Otherwise, it'll do nothing but unravel and get worse. Mark my words. I pray that does not happen, but I'm telling you, you cannot manipulate the courts. You cannot violate the rule of law. You cannot deny people speedy, transparent trials with jury of their peers and let the evidence come to court. If you do, at some point, you're running a tyranny. In fact, I had Ted Nugent on the radio with us just a couple of months ago. He said, you know what? Rape and pillage and plunder, horrible crimes, murder. But this tops them all when literally you have government bureaucrats manipulating the truth to gain convictions. It's one of the greatest crimes ever committed. And I happen to agree with Ted Nugent on that. All right, with that, Eric or Andrea Parker, what else do you want to tell us about this whole thing? Are they going to get a fair trial? Do you think we'll have more transparency? Do you think the jury will get enough of the truth to hold government accountable?
I really hope so. But at the end of this evidentiary hearing, the judge can just say, well, I didn't find that there was destruction of evidence, and you can't talk about it. This is kind of what we've seen going along the whole process is, you know, we'll get an inch and then we'll be shut down. So I'm not sure. I know it did come out in the evidentiary hearing that the person who investigated the destruction of evidence charges actually was reporting to Stephen Myrie, who's lead on the case, knew that if he found destruction of evidence, the case would be dismissed. So here we go again. We have the government investigating the government. We have the government sitting on a trial judging the government. How do we get fair trials when it's completely one-sided? This is exactly what's wrong with our justice system. Just to think that, you know, they bring in a BLM officer from Idaho to investigate destruction of evidence, but he reports to Stephen Myrie, who is the lead prosecutor on the case. How is that right? There is something that needs to happen with our justice system, and it needs to happen like a full switch from the top down. The government should never be sitting ruling a case against the government. The government should never investigate a case of government wrongdoing. We need to correct things.
Amen to that. Well, our prayers are with your husband. I think he's, even though it's wrong what's been done to him, at least to some degree, he'll have a life with his wife and children, which he deserves. When the American people realize and distrust government because they saw the one-sided story being told in court. And hopefully we can push through Donald Trump and others. We've got the Freedom Coalition, Sam Bushman, Richard Mack, Ted Nugent, Roger Stone, many others were pushing for accountability on this. Hopefully we'll get pay dirt. We're going to keep trying, trying. We're not going to give up. In the meantime, our prayers are on this trial. Are you going to go down and be able to cover a lot of this for us, too? Or who's going to be the best people to have cover this?
Well, I'm hoping to be down there as much as I can, but I know the Bundy Ranch page has, the Bundy family has a new spokesperson. Of course, John Lamb's there. Check out Bundy Ranch Facebook page. It Matters How You Stand, and John Lamb also.
All right. I think that's critically important. Anything else you want to say about this case? We wanted to just kind of get a good update. We know it was kind of quiet on the front for this for a little bit, but I wanted to just let you and Eric and others spend time together and not just keep badgering you for details. So we kind of laid off for a bit. That doesn't mean we don't want to cover the story, and it doesn't mean we won't give you a chance to speak anytime you want. It does mean, though, that we're trying to be respectful of the families.
Well, we certainly do appreciate it. I know that the evidentiary hearing was supposed to go one day. It's already gone 3 days and will continue this Friday. So I'm really hoping for them then. Make sure to tune in to one of those Facebook pages on Friday to see exactly how the outcome comes. They have three more people who are going to testify.
All right. Part of the problem with these evidentiary hearings is what they do is they literally put stuff on the table. Then they make it secret oftentimes and put gag orders in place, or they dismiss stuff and shut people down before they ever even can get it on the record. This is, in my opinion, part of the problem where we don't have a speedy open trial of a jury of our peers, because they manipulate even whatever eventually goes to the jury. Even though they claim they have one, they manipulate it in these pre-trial kind of evidentiary trial before they ever get there. Do you think that's a fair assessment?
Yes, I do.
All right. That's, in my opinion, one of the big problems. So I'm worried about what's happening right now, because I think that's where the damage is really done. It's okay to give something to a jury that's packaged and manipulated in their minds, but it isn't the truth. And the jury doesn't have really, even good, honest people on the jury don't have the ability to see the real evidence or facts in this case, because they've literally manipulated, blocked, changed, whatever they've done. Along the way, they make this happen and they create this prepackaged kind of slam dunk scenario. Hopefully the jury will see that along the way, like they've done in the previous cases. But I'm fearful that as the government continues to narrow this scope and play games and stagger trials and witnesses, and they're going for something. And even if they get one guy like, say, Ammon Bundy put in prison for a long time or life, they'll call it the win they were, you know, just because there were some mistrials. They'll still call it the win they've been looking for all along, and they'll claim victory is what they'll do. And that's my fear, that we won't have the truth here at all. Any thoughts on that, Andrea? That's my fear, though.
Well,
claim
absolutely. The truth isn't allowed in the courtroom. In the last trial that Eric was in, he was pulled off the stand. He wasn't allowed to bring witnesses on his behalf. So
now let me stop you there and say he was yanked off the stand by the judge because they said his responses weren't in scope with what he was allowed to say and not say. The jury saw that. They kind of freaked out. Eric got off the stand, put his head in his hands, and kind of went to tears because he just felt like, I'm not even able to fairly tell the story. And the jury saw every bit of that, and I think that was actually in his favor.
I agree as well, but I think that if he was able to finish his testimony, it could have been full acquittals. It was 11-1.
Of course it could have been, and they wanted to stop that.
To hear him, yeah, he would have been acquitted.
Well, and there you go. It just shows what we're talking about. All right, Andrea, we appreciate you. Again, if there's anything breaking in this case, please call me. We'll have you back on. Is there anything else you want to say that you haven't had a chance to say?
I think we've covered it. Please pay attention to what's going on down there. That's the only way we've gotten as much truth out in the courtroom as we have. People paying attention really makes a difference. Thank you all.
Thank you, Andrea. Keep us posted. If anything breaks, we're here to help.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
So much,
Godspeed.
Sam.
Thank your husband as well. All right. There you go. Eric and Andrea Parker doing a great job. Kurt Crosby's with me on the broadcast. Welcome back to Liberty Roundtable. Kurt.
Boy, I feel like I shouldn't even say buenos dias and all that stuff after listening to this because of how rough it is, Sam. You know what I mean?
I can't disagree with that. Wow. I don't even know how to respond except for our prayers are that we can have justice in America once again. And sadly, as Kurt always says, wouldn't it be nice if we could just trust our government, if it was transparent, if there was speedy trials, if there was a jury of one's peers where we had open and honest court where people could feel it and the truth could come out and the government wouldn't have this agenda. But the sad part is if that were to happen, Kurt, then you'd have all kinds of government witnesses and government in my opinion, provocateurs, they'd all be going to jail, Kurt. And so that's the
amen
issue.
To that. You know, at first, when I first was listening, you know, early in the hour, I put in Eric Parker in Google. The closest thing I get is something in April, or then there's one in August. But, you know, we're in
They're not really now, interested in telling you that basically the jury basically found him not guilty. They're not interested in telling you that, my friend. Now, if he would have gone to jail and prison forever or something, then that would have been shouted from the rooftops that, hey, the government was right. These guys, you know, they'd go on and on and on and on. But the fact that you don't see anything tells me enough that the mainstream press in bed with the government to say we didn't get what we want here. Therefore, it's a non-story, even though, in my opinion, the Patriots, they didn't win because they were abused for literally months by an out-of-control government. But the victory was theirs because the jury saw the truth for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. At least after the judge, I mean, you know, the right to a speedy trial, the right to a, you know, First Amendment rights of being able to, you know, say the things you want to say. I mean, it's just incredible. The judge telling them, you can't say that. You can't say this. You can only say these things. I mean, it's just it's a joke, Sam. And you know, I mean, if you put in Bundy.
Amen to that. Before we Bundy Ranch, go on, though, I want to get a caller on. Barbara, you're on the radio. Colorado, hi.
Hi. I don't want to take away from Eric and Andrea's testimony that I have been listening to that has been so absolutely awesome. But I also want to talk about a conference that is going to be taking place in Grand Junction, Colorado on November 14th.
Okay, go quick. We've got only a little bit of time before the end of the hour. Go ahead.
It is a right to farm conference. The right to farm ranching, Bundy's, has been under attack for many, many years. We are having a conference featuring Angus McIntosh and a lawyer from the Bud Fallon Law Firm who represented a chicken house here in Delta, Colorado, Delta County, Colorado.
All right, make sure you give people where they can get more information because we're about out of time.
Okay, November 14th, Grand Junction, 10 o'clock a.m. at the fairgrounds.
And is there a website where people can get more?
You can check my Facebook, Tom and Barb Hewlett, and see the flyer.
All right. Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There she goes. I agree with you, Kurt. Well, let's continue this next hour a little bit. We'll grab Becky Akers, have her join us, and talk about this a little bit. Government's out of control on this one, folks. The jury sees the truth. The sad part is they're not getting a fair and open, honest, transparent trial of the evidence. They're manipulating the case to guarantee convictions. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.